This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Today is the 900th day of imprisonment for many of the detainees being held at the naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Until now, the nearly 600 detainees from 42 countries have remained under the full control of the president and the Defense Department. But yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the detainees may challenge their confinement in the U.S. courts. In perhaps an even more severe rebuke to the administration, the court also ruled that American citizens captured in the War on Terror may not be held without access to the U.S. courts or to a lawyer. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In the aftermath of 9/11, the Bush administration aggressively asserted its power to fight the war on terrorism, claiming it had inherent power under the Constitution to imprison both U.S. citizens and foreigners indefinitely without court review. Enemy combatants, the administration said, were neither prisoners of war protected by the Geneva Conventions, nor were they ordinary criminal suspects with automatic rights to know the charges against them and contest them in open court. Under the administration's enemy combatant theory, foreigners seized in Afghanistan were sent to the naval base at Guantanamo Bay for interrogation and indefinite detention, and U.S. citizens, whether captured on the battlefield or on U.S. soil, could be held indefinitely without access to courts or to a lawyer. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court squarely rejected both assertions of unilateral presidential power in a set of opinions with shifting majorities. In the Guantanamo case, the vote was 6-3, and in the case involving American citizens held on U.S. soil, the vote was 8-1, with only Justice Clarence Thomas siding with the administration. Predictably, the decisions won praise from civil libertarians and darts from some congressional Republicans, but in the wake of the Abu Ghraib scandal and revelations about administration memoranda justifying torture, some who had previously defended the administration welcomed yesterday's rulings. Here's Johns Hopkins University professor Ruth Wedgwood.
The courts value the sense that ultimately even war is within larger bounds conducted under a rule of law.
The most thorough rejection of the administration's position came in the case of Yasser Hamdi, an American-born Saudi turned over to U.S. troops by the Northern Alliance during the Afghan War in exchange for bounty. Although Hamdi's father claimed his 20-year-old son was a relief worker caught up in the chaos of war, the Bush administration claimed he was a Taliban fighter, and the administration held him in isolation at a Navy brig in South Carolina for more than 2 years. Only after the Supreme Court agreed to review his case was Hamdi allowed to see a lawyer. Yesterday, 8 justices of the Supreme Court ruled his detention had been illegal because Hamdi was denied any meaningful due process of law in the courts. Writing the primary opinion for herself and 3 other justices, Sandra Day O'Connor said, "We have long since made clear that a state of war is not a blank check for the president when it comes to the rights of the nation's citizens." Some, like former Bush administration Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Yoo, professed to see a silver lining in yesterday's decisions.
In these opinions, the court recognized that September 11th did start a war, and that as part of that war, the United States can detain enemy combatants.
But privately, administration officials were grim-faced at the outcome, and those who have battled the administration were elated. Frank Dunham is the public defender who read about Hamdi's detention in the newspaper and fought for 2 years on his behalf.
Justice O'Connor's opinion makes it pretty clear that the courts still have an important role whenever it comes time to lock up an American citizen for an indefinite period of time.
Justice O'Connor's opinion did, however, in sending the case back to the lower courts, give the government some wiggle room. In order to determine whether an individual like Hamdi is being properly held, said O'Connor, there must be a balance between individual rights and national security. And she set out a sort of constitutional recipe for how to do that. The individual, she said, must be told what the factual basis is for designating him an enemy combatant. He must have the right to rebut those facts in court, and with the assistance of a lawyer. But, she said, many of the usual rules of a criminal trial need not be followed. For example, a Pentagon official may summarize field reports, and the summary may be presumed reliable as long as the accused has the right to cross-examine the official and challenge the way the information was obtained. Joining O'Connor's opinion were Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justices Kennedy and Breyer. Justices Souter and Ginsburg would have ordered Hamdi's immediate release on other grounds, but they joined O'Connor's opinion for the purpose of making a majority. The conservative Justice Antonin Scalia and the liberal Justice John Paul Stevens would have gone much further in repudiating the administration. They would have required the government to prosecute Hamdi for treason or some other crime with all the rights due a criminal defendant, or else let him go. For all the rhetoric in the Hamdi case, the most immediate consequences of yesterday's rulings will likely flow from the Guantanamo detainee case. In an opinion written by Justice Stevens, the court ruled that the detainees do have the right to contest their detention in the U.S. courts. Ohio State University professor Mary Ellen O'Connell.
The core decision in the Guantanamo Bay case is that there is no right to hold persons indefinitely in pretrial detention.
Both administration officials and their critics said yesterday they now expect the administration to move towards a system of military hearings for each detainee, in which the detainee is permitted to make his case that he has not been properly classified as an enemy combatant. That's the system the U.S. used in the aftermath of the first Gulf War, a system that was widely viewed as successful inside the military. Admiral John Hudson is the Navy's retired Judge Advocate General.
I'm hopeful that the administration itself will come to the conclusion they might as well go ahead and provide the individuals and the courts with enough information as to why they're being held that will ultimately be able to separate the terrorists from the goat herders and send the goat herders on home and keep the terrorists, which is all we really want to do, I think.
But lawyers who've been representing the detainees are not as optimistic as Admiral Hudson. Tom Wilner, who represents 12 Kuwaitis being held at Guantanamo, says the military currently is implementing a system of annual reviews analogous to a parole system. But that, he says, is not enough.
The review panels required by the Geneva Conventions and by our own military regulations require an individualized hearing for anyone if there's any doubt. We'll demand that. We'll also ask for access to them to see how their health is. Because of allegations that have come out, we want to see if these people are in good health and if they've been treated humanely.
Just how the Guantanamo case will play out is extremely unclear. The court did not set out any guidelines in its opinion, declaring that what's presently at stake is only whether the federal courts have jurisdiction to determine the legality of the potentially indefinite detention of individuals who claim to be wholly innocent of wrongdoing. The court concluded that the courts do have that power of review. Such notions may sound abstract even in the context of yesterday's Supreme Court rulings, but for the individuals who've been imprisoned for more than 2 years now, yesterday's decisions offer literally a new lease on life. Just how isolated they've been is evidenced by the fact that Yasser Hamdi's lawyer could not directly inform his client that he'd won his Supreme Court case.
We have sent a fax copy of the opinion to the appropriate military authorities requesting that it be given to him immediately. And we are planning a trip down to Charleston to see him as soon as we can.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.